Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily.
Well, hey there. Welcome in, everybody. Happy Friday to you. TGIF. Glad to be here with you. It is Jake Volbrockton, TJ Cleland, coming at you for the next little while here on a Friday morning. We'll recap Thursday night football. It was a good one. We will get you ready for the weekend of football, high school football, college football, the NFL. It's all here for you on Sports Daily today. We'll bring in the full staff for picks in the next hour. Which reminds me, I need to send you guys the games to pick. So it's been a big mystery. Not a lot of study time for the picks. We had a great Thursday night football game. We'll recap that as well. Get to the latest on Josh Simmons. Tortilla Gate takes another turn. It's all what's on tap, brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company, where it's patio season. Smash a Yumkin pumpkin on Delano's rooftop deck. Enjoy happy hour at WBC East's newly remodeled patio. Or grab a pizza outside shielded from the setting sun at WBC West. When you think patio, think Wichita Brewing Company. Pizza and beer made here. How are you this morning, TJ?
I can smell the coffee brewing from upstairs. Got up early enough to get it going. We're not panicking last minute like we have been this week. So going to have that ready for the second segment, ready to fire up. That means it's going to be an energetic show. But, I would think we lead off the show with the question that we've been asking for the last 15 years. Is Joe Flacco elite?
Yeah, he looked good last night. Aaron Rodgers threw a couple of picks, but I thought also looked good last night. Physically and everything else, just a couple of old dudes slinging it around, on a Thursday
night.
Huge
for you. Must have been awesome for your ego.
Yeah. Still got it. Those guys are both about my age.
Look, honey, that guy's older than me and he's still doing it.
Yeah. It's feeling good. 33-31. The Bengals take down the Steelers. Our guy PJ Glasser all over that one yesterday. If you followed his advice, which was take the Bengals on the money line. I did on a bet and it paid off and it was nice. I broke my own rule. I'd been on a heater with primetime games. And that is on first touchdowns, you bet either a quarterback running or a tight end. And I'm talking heater with that. And I was blinded by my need, I think, for DK Metcalf to have a big game, for fantasy. And I put him in there and I was on the right team and it would have been Jonnu Smith. I should have stayed, stuck to my guns, TJ. I'm telling you, Thursday nights, Monday nights, Sunday nights, if it's a primetime game, it's quarterbacks running, it's tight ends. We've seen that just recently in the games I remember on this little heater. It went Bo Nix, Jake Tongis, Travis Kelce, Dallas Goedert had one. Last Thursday, and then last night, Jonnu Smith and Caleb Williams, which I told you about Monday night, paid fruitfully. It's a thing. It's a thing. I didn't do it last night, and I'm mad at myself.
I think that you've got some room to wiggle around and get a couple wrong after Caleb Williams helped you out.
Well, I got Nicks, I got Kelce, I got Caleb Williams, I got all those. And, yeah, you know, the ESPN betting site lets you get half your back, so I max bet those to get that back. And they've been, it's paid for the whole season. I'm up for the year because of those bets. And I'm so annoyed that I didn't follow my own rule on them last night.
Yeah, Albrock family's been eating the Chesters.
We have not. Thanks to Prairie Fry Coffee. Speaking of TJ's Coffee, for keeping us fueled up this morning. You know, they make this simple thing most coffee makers made in the last, 30 years, TJ, where you can set that up the night before and it'll just make itself and it's ready to go by the time you wake up. I don't know what's holding you back on that.
One day I'm going to figure out these technological advances, but I think there's just something about having to pour those grinds in there. Also the fact that I get home at like 11:30. I don't know if I really want to mess with that.
I do it probably before I go to TV the day before, typically.
So it sits like in there for 14 hours.
Yeah, I have that sucker set up and ready to go. What's it hurting? It's not. There's no difference. There's nothing.
That's true.
Coffee grounds are in there. The water's in there, and then I wake up, and man, it makes me mad if I forget to do it. Set an alarm. You know, live your life like an old guy. Have 86 reminders a day.
By the time I'm a retired old man that likes to just sit on the porch and drink my coffee, I'll have that figured out.
By that time, you'll have the time to just brew it right there on the spot. This is a young man's game. The young man gets that stuff brewed and ready to go so you don't have to mess with it in the morning. The old man move is to wake up and brew it. You're trying to kill time at that point. You need the 30 minutes of brewing that coffee. Again, thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee. 35 by 70, it's a Friday fit. I've got the Buffalo Roma on today. If you like this one, this is one of my favorites because my college alma mater is the Buffalo and my college color is maroon. But they've got all kinds of designs for you at 35by70golfco.com. I've got the fall seasonal stuff up there as well. If you would like to take a look and if you see anything you like, you can enter the promo code Jacob, get 10% off. Thanks to them for being a part of a Friday. We'll have the crew in. I think Brandon's going to be able to make it, but we'll see. Savage, Tommy should be in. We'll make our picks. We'll get you through three college games, three pro games, and have some fun that way. And then, of course, we'll get a Friday football preview as well. The second hour is always jam-packed with all of those things, but we do have a couple other things. We'll dig in a little deeper to Thursday Night Football. We'll get you the latest on Josh Simmons and Tortilla Gate. Took another turn. And set the table there, TJ, and we'll spend time with it a little bit later, but just so people can start thinking about it now. The latest, this came, late yesterday? We had another development in the tortilla throwing situation down there in Lubbock.
Mm-hmm. Yep, he said that the Kirby Hoka, I think it's Hoka, I don't know if I'm saying that right, athletic director at Texas Tech, did a Zoom call, I think with like the student body, like did a Zoom call with them and let them know what's going on, and said that the Big 12 reached out to every school across the conference and said that any objects thrown on the field, not just tortillas, any school at all, if you throw a water bottle, this counts towards something. The first time that something hits the playing surface, not even the sidelines, not even the field, which is what it originally was, they changed it to all of anything that is the grass or the turf. If something hits that, there must be a warning over the PA to not do it again. And then if it happens again, it's a 15-yard penalty and then a $100,000 fine every single time.
Every single time or every single tortilla?
Every offense. Every time they have to stop and give a penalty, I guess. Okay, I would imagine, but I don't know.
Each singular tortilla is not worth.
I mean, if they come at different times, they are.
Well, but I mean, like if 10 get thrown on at once, it's not.
I'd say every flag is worth $100,000.
Okay. All right. So stew on that a little bit.
Yeah, we don't have enough time to dig into that.
We're gonna start there next. So stew on that for a second, everybody. Think about it, because when we come back,
we've got the short segment here. But we're talking about your polo here. I don't know if you watched the Catch a Kansas show last night. We got a minute to hash this out, but we had Wichita Southeast versus Garden City, Buffalo versus Buffalo, and I said the battle of the state animal, and then somebody's like, I think the state animal is a bison. Is it the same thing?
This is a good question. I would say yes.
I think a bison is the American equivalent of a buffalo.
They're not the same. The American bison are called buffalo. They are distinct animals, according to Google. Distinct animals from the true buffalo, which include the African buffalo and Asian water buffalo. Bison are native to North America and Europe. They have a shoulder hump and the large. So what we're thinking of when we say buffalo is indeed a bison.
I knew it.
Go West Texas A&M Buffaloes. Go Buffs. And go for the Buffalo Roam, 35x70 golf course. We'll come back. We'll talk about the latest with these tortillas. It's all Brockton, Cleveland. Don't go away.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
Thanks to Crestview Country Club for supporting us here on Sports Daily at KFH. We appreciate it. It is time to play a little fall golf. Hit them in the fairways so you don't have to search in the leaves. Not as many trees out at Crestview. If you haven't played it in a while, it's playing a lot differently since the storm rolled through this summer and they had to lose some of those trees. So get out there to Crestview, ask them about the different memberships. They've got all kinds of things if you like to golf a lot, if you like to golf a little bit. If you don't like to golf at all, there are still memberships that could benefit you and the family, just like it does to ours. Give them a call. Tell them we sent you from Sports Daily. And again, thanks to them for being a part of the program. All right, TJ, the tortillas. So they're going to ramp it up. They're doubling down here. The Big 12 is on Texas Tech. They're amplifying the fines and they're threatening more penalties. I don't know what anybody thinks
punishing the school is going to accomplish.
It's tough.
What is Texas Tech supposed to do? We get it, Big 12. We get it. You don't want this to happen anymore. That's great. What is Texas Tech supposed to do to stop this? Why is the football team being punished for this? Like, to me, this is getting to a point of ridiculousness. They're going to end up like you're a league punishing itself if you cost your what appears to be best team right now a game because its fans are doing something that you don't like. What does that have anything to do with the players? What does it have anything to do with sending your best representative? Like, we're getting to the point where this is self-sabotaging. Like, what do you think Texas Tech's going to do? They don't want them to throw them right now either.
Yep. Yeah, I don't know. I think that this is like, it's such a slippery slope at this point because the obvious argument that comes about from this is, I think that like Reddit College Football, the funny account on Twitter, said something about, hey, Oklahoma State fans, if you've got the courage, you can pull off that upset. Stash in the tortillas, just rack up those first downs.
100%. Yes.
So it's like, how do you know who's throwing the tortillas? It's the question that's always been down whenever you start penalizing teams for fans, or it's like if a fan at a high school basketball game starts mother effing a ref, and it's like, well, you got to give a technical to somebody, but like, how do you know who the guy was a fan of? It's like, how do you know who the tortilla thrower is rooting
right
for?
If you're the opposition right now, you go buy a Texas Tech shirt, you put that on, and you go start launching tortillas. I mean, yeah. Honestly, seriously, these are college kids. You don't think they're going to do that?
I don't know. I mean, there needs to be, yeah, they 100% will do it. There needs to be something about, I don't know, about like a mass throwing. Like, I feel like if it's a singular throw of a tortilla, like you can point out probably who the guy was that threw it and then just like, whatever, detain that guy for what, if that's what you want to do. Like, but like, it feels, I don't know, like it feels like it's a bit much. Like, I don't really know how you enforce this.
The fact that it's
$100,000 is also insane. And the other part of this as well is that this isn't a Texas Tech exclusive rule. This is a Big 12 conference across everybody, which obviously it's because of Texas Tech. But nothing's stopping this from happening at the Sunflower Showdown next
right,
week.
Now, you're getting into an area where if you're the opposition, you're like, hey, why don't we go start throwing tortillas on the field? Like, we know tortillas is not going to hurt anybody. We know they've been doing that forever. It's harmless. Let's go do that and get somebody in trouble.
You see how petty the KU-K-State rivalry is. What's stopping a K-Stater from saying, you know what? Screw those Jayhawks. We're going to make them pay $100,000.
Nothing is because dumb people make young people make dumb decisions. And young people will always make dumb decisions, just like I made dumb decisions when I was younger. You did. Most people did. Like, we all don't understand consequence, and we'd be totally willing to, you know, high five your buddies after the game if you got in, especially now in the social media world. Like, come on. Like, you're inviting this to be a bigger deal than it needs to be. Austin weighs in. I don't know if there's a right answer here, honestly. Just let it go might be the best. That was the best original answer. Just why did we need to make this a big deal? It was not a big deal. They've been doing this for 30 years, and it is not a big deal. Most people don't even know it's been happening for the last 30 years until they came in and said, you can't do that anymore, and now it's a big deal. And it's ridiculous. Like, what do you think is going to happen here? They're just going to stop? And like you said, nobody's going to take advantage of this? My goodness.
Yeah. It's such a weird argument because I think you're exactly right. Rick weighs in here with his usual stop making excuses for college kids. They shouldn't throw anything on the field. We agree. I mean, I agree.
I don't think they should throw anything on the field either, but I'm not naive fact that they're gonna.
Yeah, it's the fact that there's just no way of enforcing this. It's the same argument of like, K-State, like we've said every single day on this show, it's the same thing as K-State trying to stop the FKU chants. It's people trying to stop a court storming. Like, you can't do it. Like, whenever there's 60,000 people, 50,000 people, you can't stop everybody. And that's the hardest part about this is strength in numbers, is that, yeah, Texas Tech doesn't even want the tortillas on the field. They've released the video saying, please, don't do this. And they can't stop them. And so at that point, you're just going to have to start putting police officers in the student section and have eyes on tortillas and then start detaining college kids for throwing a tortilla or something. And it sounds absurd.
And that's what you want at a college football athlete.
Yeah, that's the real environment you want there.
I mean, imagine, like, think about it. Like, we've made goalposts in some places easier to bring down because we know they're coming down. So let's make sure nobody gets hurt, right? Let's make them easy to just lay down.
KU's new stadium has like hydraulics to where the game ends. They just lower the goalposts, and so that way they can't take them down. They're already down.
Yeah, like I don't know. I mean, you can help it. You can probably search every single person that comes in, which they might already do, and not allow any to come in. But again, you're going to find a way. You're going to start doing cavity searches.
I was going to say, how do you find a tortilla? They're not metal. Like, if I let's play a game. Next time you take a flight, let's shove a tortilla in our pocket and see if TSA catches our tortillas.
They'll catch you. That TSA will catch you because they have X-ray machines.
Yeah, but that's what we need. We just need X-ray machines implemented.
In stadium security is not going to catch you if you put a tortilla in your underwear. Right. Like they're not like they're, that's easy. Like that's an easy one. None of this is necessary. You can weigh in. We appreciate the comments there on Facebook, on YouTube, on X. You can also reach out to us directly on social media. You can call us 869-1240. Max has the hotline manned for you. But it's just this has never been a thing. When was the last time we ever talked about this? And I'm not talking about us specifically. I'm talking about, like, generally speaking, as observers of the Big 12, most of us for our entire lives or most of our lives, most people didn't even know tortillas were thrown sometimes at a Texas Tech football game. Why? Because it's not that big a deal. It's just a silly thing that happens. And then you come in and then you try to make it a big deal. And then it becomes a bigger deal, and now it's an even bigger deal, and we have a pocket knife thing happening, and now we have bigger fines, and we have a team that's a great team that is getting punished for something it has absolutely nothing to do with.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to do, because I agree. I mean, like, at the end of the day, like, it's not, I don't know. Like, it's a tradition, but honestly, it's, like, not really cool to be throwing things onto the field because, like, I don't know. There's no way of enforcing
it. That's not going to stop people. Of course it's not cool. The second they said it's going to penalize the team, the fans, like, the fans that want to see Texas Tech really succeed, that's it. Like, we're done. Like, that, well, yeah, that's stupid. We're not going to do that. We don't want to get the team punished for it. But that's not 100% of the fans, and you only need 5% to be a problem.
I agree. That's what I'm saying. They really left a slippery slope here and not made it something about, like, if there is enough thrown to have to stop play, then it's $100,000. Like, like, if one guy goes in there and starts throwing things, like, are you going to fine Texas Tech because of drunk Jimmy throwing tortillas onto the field? Like, it's crazy.
Mark my words. This will be abused by the opposition somehow. How many home games does Texas Tech even have left? Probably not many, thankfully, because somebody will try to take advantage of this. Maybe they don't have enough games that it'll happen this year. They still have three home games. They're home October 25th. They're home November 8th, and that's a huge game against BYU.
BYU, yeah.
And then they're home against UCF on November 15th. Somewhere in there, that is the next evolution of this thing, is that somebody that doesn't want Texas Tech to do well is going to start throwing tortillas. Rick says, how do they have nothing to do when they've allowed it for 30 years? I'm not sure I understand that one, Rick. I don't understand that question. So it's something that, again, we've watched and done forever. It's never been a problem until the Big 12 said you can't do this anymore, and now all of a sudden it's a problem. And
my favorite post yesterday was, I love the sport of college football so much. Kurt Cignetti just got a deal for $88 million. And in a different conference, the Big 12 is putting out legislation about throwing tortillas.
Yeah, it's
that's crazy. And now it's just like we've been saying, like it. I don't know if it lit a fire, but like, I think it's going to calm it down. Like, this is definitely going to calm it down. But I think that like, there's going to be the group of, you know, frat bros, they're going to say, screw Brett Yormark. We're going to throw tortillas anyways.
Oh, Rick says, I said it's not Texas Tech's fault. It's not Texas Tech's fault because it's been a tradition that nobody had a problem with for 30 years. And then all of a sudden somebody says, you can't do this anymore. And Texas Tech's trying to say, okay, fans, you can't do this anymore. And they're doing it anyway. What is Texas Tech supposed to do? Right? It's only a problem because the Big 12 said you can't do it anymore. It wasn't a problem for the 29 years prior when they've done it. Nobody cared. Most people didn't even know they did it. It was just a silly, fun thing that happened. It wasn't a problem. It's not a problem. Nobody's getting hurt. Like, it takes no time for them to get them cleaned up. Like, you probably didn't know it happened because it was done and gone during a commercial break after a touchdown. Like it's just not a big deal until they make it a big deal. And this is did you ever watch Porky's or any comedy that involved college ever? Like, this stereotype in this story is as old as time. College kids have fun. Stuffy administrator steps in for some reason and tries to limit said fun. And the reaction to it is far worse than it was before.
This is
every college comedy has used that baseline forever. It's like AI and sci-fi. We know how that story goes. We've seen it a million times. They're going to go bad and turn against us. Like, we know what's happening, and we're just going to let it happen anyway. This is the same thing. Like, college administrators or whoever, this time it's the Big 12, steps in to young people having fun, says you can't do that anymore, and the reaction to it is far worse than the behavior to begin with. Like, that's why from the beginning with this, I've been shaking my head saying, like, why are we doing this? This is stupid. This is not going to end well. There's no outcome here that's reasonable, that's going to be good. Like, they're not going to just stop doing the thing that they've been doing forever. Kids that have been going to Texas Tech football games have been waiting their whole lives to become students there so that they can throw a tortilla at a football game. It's a tradition. It is what it is. It might be a dumb tradition. I don't care about it. It means nothing to me. But now it's a story when it didn't need to be a story to begin with.
I expect there will still be opening kickoff. They're still going to throw them. They're just going to take the warning, and then they're just going to stop. But I don't think everybody's going
to
stop.
You almost have to have the buffer warning built in. You need the buffer warning.
I don't know. Maybe there's legislature. It's like, what if we do this pregame? Like, is this count as a penalty if it's pregame?
That's true.
It's like we won the coin toss. Tortillas.
Or post game.
Yeah.
Like, at the very end of the game with the win, let it rain, because they can't penalize you at that point.
Yeah. This is ingenuity. We need to call Kirby.
Now, this is what a smart college administrator would do. Would be, okay, listen, guys, we're going to stick it to the man, but we got to do it in a way that doesn't hurt the team. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to give everybody in the stadium at the 2 minute mark of the fourth quarter, we're going to pass out tortillas. And when that game ends, if we win, we want to see 60,000 tortillas on the field. Okay. That's how you get out ahead of this and you flip the narrative. They can't penalize us if it's after the game. We get a warning at the end of the game. If we win, tortillas on us. We want everybody to let them fly. Like, that, honestly, like, that's a great solution if you're Texas Tech.
That would actually be awesome. I can't
tortilla
lie.
Night, right? Like, we'll buy them. We're supplying the tortillas. All you got to do is show up. If we win, we're going to pass them out. You guys let them rip. But just let it rain tortillas. And that'd
be awesome. Speaking of promotional night, I don't know if you saw this. We'll segue really quick. Oklahoma State. Did you see the stuff last week about the shirtless dudes?
No.
Oh, you got to look this up. There was I don't even know what the score was of the game. Nobody was caring anymore. There was like two random college dudes that just went up to an empty section because there was nobody at that game. Empty section of the stands, took their shirts off, started waving them like towels. And then slowly, by like one by one, just guys started to go up there saying, hell yeah, like I'm taking my shirt off too. It turned into like 1,000 college kids with their shirts off, waving them around like towels. It is awesome.
So here's what I have personal anecdote on this. We were at Texas Rangers game one time, and I don't know why. I do know why. We had too many beers. But it was like a billion degrees before the new ballpark. Like if you went in the summertime, it was like a billion degrees. So we just decided that we were going to take our shirts off and do that very thing, wave them around. And I'm not kidding. By the end of it, there were old men next to us with shirts off, young kids. Like it was like this fun, cool trip. I have pictures of it. It was awesome. And then the next day, one of my cousins had like a suite. And so we were up there. We do it again and again. Like so I get it. That's what a fun thing. And then they're doing you mentioned a promo. It looks like the first 10,000 fans have a no shirt giveaway.
Yeah. First 10,000 show up. Don't get a shirt.
That's awesome. That's really cool. I love it. I love that very, very much. Thursday night football. Last night, and it was the two old guys, two long-toothed quarterbacks, TJ, getting it done, 33-31, the Bengals over the Steelers, couple trends continue. The overs on Thursday Night Football have been good all year long. I told you about the first touchdown thing. It has been wild. Watch it. I mean, you don't have to bet it, but just watch it. And then we get the Bengals, and we didn't know how Flacco was going to fit in there. But the reality is they have a bad offensive line, but really good weapons. And Flacco has shown, even in his older age, that he can still be a gunslinger. And he threw it almost 50 times last night for 342 yards and 3 touchdowns. He did the right thing. He fed Jamar Chase. He fed T. Higgins. And he just utilized his star players to go out and make plays. And somehow he's finding enough time behind that line to get it done. I thought that was a huge win, because now you're getting back to the case with the Bengals where, TJ, they have a chance. If they can just survive until Burrow gets back, they get the Jets at home. They get the Bears at home. And then a bye week. Those are winnable games, I think, if Flacco plays that way. All of a sudden, they're 5-4 going into the bye. We're looking at a situation where maybe they could keep their season alive. Now, after the bye week, their schedule gets pretty tough. But the Bengals, I mean, that was a team that I thought could contend until Burrow went down. So this is an interesting development now all of a sudden.
Yeah, I agree. I think they looked really good. This is a game that, you know, probably should have been chalked up as a loss against a Steelers team that I think was the two seed in the AFC going into last night. And so that's a tough matchup to go with. You don't have a quarterback. You don't know what you're going to get in Joe Burrow. Coming off four straight losses as well. I didn't even realize they had four straight losses. So that's a big, big booster for this team that, you know, there was 2-0, then went to 2-4, just like that. And so to climb back out of that, if they can get two wins here, that makes them over 500. That'd be 5-4. So if you could be over 500 whenever you get Joe Burrow back, with the way that they started, whenever they looked like terrible without him, it'd be really big. I think that they could sneak in. When's Burrow coming back? Do we know?
I believe it was week 12 or something was the possibility, the chance. Look, and let's be real. Like, the Bengals defense also sucks. So it's not going to be easy, even if Flacco plays well. But it gives them a chance in what feels like a wide open year in the AFC. And it gives them a chance in a division where at some point Lamar Jackson will come back. They're kind of in the... You know, they're a lighter version, let's say, of what the Bengals are, because they should get Jackson back sooner. But another team that's very talented with a bad defense missing its quarterback. But the Browns, you just showed you can beat the Steelers, although that was close. And I think we'll get to the Steelers in just a second. But, I mean, why not? Like, why not them? They have so many talented players. But again, their defense is pretty bad. And I don't the reality is Joe Flacco may play great. The offense may rebound. And they were going to lose games with Joe Burrow because their defense sucks. So they're for sure probably – for sure probably. They're for sure going to lose games at some point in this stretch. Even if he plays out of his mind, their defense will cost them games.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree. It's an interesting team. I don't remember a time – maybe you could bring one up here, but I don't remember a time that they've had a team with this many star wide receivers and star weapons without a quarterback to throw to them. The 49ers have been banged up and everything like that. You can make that argument there, but I don't think that they had Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. Like, that's what's been so weird about this.
Well, nobody does. Nobody has that combo. That's the best combo. Chiefs wide receiver room is deeper, and maybe you could say the whole room is better, but nobody's 1-2 is better. Puka Nacua and Davante Adams, probably the next closest thing in LA.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, though, is that, you know, for fantasy purposes as well, you know, you look at Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, and it's like, man, these guys are so good, but, like, who is going to throw them the ball? If they have somebody that's serviceable for the time being, like they're going to lose games because of their defense, they're going to win games because of their offense as well.
Sure.
Like, they're not going to have that streak going again. I think that having a guy that can throw the ball like that, you know, obviously Flacco's a better pass thrower than Jake Browning, evidently, so it's huge for that team.
Well, and that was a line from Flacco last night that looked a lot like Burrow, right? That was what a lot of Burrow games looked like last year. They're going to throw it 50 times a game because their defense isn't any good, and he's going to pile up the numbers. Congratulations to those that were able to get Joe Flacco. On the other side, Aaron Rodgers, he had the two picks. I think that he looks good, though. I think he's doing a really nice job. Like, if you're a Steelers fan, and you're thinking about Aaron Rodgers, this is going better than anybody could have hoped for. They lost that game last night because of their defense. The one thing I did not see coming with the Steelers was that they wouldn't play good defense. So as we were thinking about his fit in Pittsburgh, what was it, right? Well, can he just be better than Russell Wilson and complement that defense? Like, that was the narrative. And I had it too. That was the way I felt about it. Now it's become, can he be good enough to overcome a defense that's not very good? And I don't know why they're not very good. I think it lends itself to a conversation that needs to be had about these pass rushers and making them as they go all the way back to the offseason. It was Myles Garrett, and it was TJ Watt, and it was Max Crosby, and then it was Micah Parsons. And it's like, why? I've tried to have this conversation with people that say, well, you have to pay that guy. He's a star. And I'm like, he's a star, but you don't have to pay him like they're getting paid. Clearly. Like, all of these high-priced defensive ends that are just shattering each other's – like, give me a case where that's worked out well for the team.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess the Packers we'll see with Parsons – because they're a good team. But in most of these cases, the highest paid edge rushers play for bad teams. And in a lot of situations, bad defenses. Now, the Browns aren't a bad defense with Myles Garrett. But if you look at the Steelers this year, they gave up 32 points to the Jets, 31 points to the Seahawks. They were better against New England in that win, but then 21 points to Minnesota, and then now this 31 points, like, they are far from the dominant defense we expected. And it's meant Aaron Rodgers has had to play better. And he is, man. I thought he looked good. I was with the kids at a drive-in movie trying to tune in and out of the game. So I missed the interceptions. I didn't see the interceptions, how bad they were, anything like that. But just watching him play the first half and everything, like, he was moving well. He's distributing the ball well. They've done a good job building the offense around him through tight ends and a guy like DK Metcalf who can run after the catch. Like, they've done a really good job there of designing this offense for him, and he looks good running it, and now they can't play defense. So I don't know what to make of the Steelers as a contender.
Yeah, they're a team that, you know, obviously has had all the quarterback struggles. That's the biggest thing about the Aaron Rodgers conversation. Is I don't know if Aaron Rodgers looks good, but Aaron Rodgers looks better than Russell Wilson.
I think he looks better than Kenny Pickett.
I mean, say what you will, but I'm just saying, in comparison to those guys, he looks awesome. Is my point.
Yeah.
They haven't had a good quarterback since Ben Roethlisberger.
He's had a quarterback rating above 96 in all but one game this year. He's got 14 touchdowns to 5 interceptions. He's completing about real close to 70% of his passes. He's doing literally everything you would ask him to do. Like, he is for the expectation to bring Aaron Rodgers there, it has gone as well or better than anybody would have hoped for. And then they can't play defense. And it's like, wait, what? Because that was the thing, right? He was just trying to be a little better than Russell Wilson. That was the goal. Be a little better than Russell Wilson. Just give us a little more than Kenny Pickett has over the years, right? That's all we need. And he's been way better than that. But those guys had great defenses with them. If Pittsburgh could figure out their defense, I think that's the question to ask. If Pittsburgh gets it figured out defensively and gets back closer to the defense we've known over the last 5 or 6 years, with the way Rodgers is playing, are they a serious contender in the AFC? That's what I'm thinking about last night as I'm watching that game. And they lost the game to the Bengals and their defense let them down and all that stuff. That's fine. If they were to get back to that level defensively, because Mike Tomlin usually lives at that level defensively, with the way Rodgers is playing, would they be a serious contender in the AFC?
I mean, I don't think they're making an AFC championship, but I think they'll be a top five team, maybe.
I think.
Do you agree with that?
Let me say it two ways. One, I don't think their defense is going to improve that much. I don't think that's all of a sudden just going to happen. So it is a big if and a big hypothetical on that. But if, and I don't think they will, but if they did get back to that level defensively, I would not take them over the Chiefs. I would not take them over the Bills, but I would probably take them over the Colts. I would probably take them over the Broncos. But again, zero ifs. I don't think it's going to happen, so it doesn't really matter.
To
but it
fair,
is good to see.
To be fair,
I'm enjoying
about this defense,
watching Rodgers play. Say it again.
Their points allowed. They're only eighth in the AFC. So there's eight teams worse than them in the AFC. Like, they've only allowed 140 points. And the Bengals have allowed 214. The Ravens have allowed 194. Like, they're right there with the Bills at 137. So it's not like it's not the Ravens defense right now. Like, it's not
overcoming
them now.
They've played.
So I think,
they've had the luxury of playing the Jets, of the Vikings without their quarterback, of the Browns. Like, when they have played good offenses, it's not been good. So, I mean, they're about to play the Packers. They're about to play the Colts, the Chargers, the Bengals again, the Bears, the Bills, the Ravens, with Lamar Jackson probably at that point. You're asking Aaron Rodgers now not to just be a little better than Russell Wilson and be efficient. You're asking Rodgers to be the old Aaron Rodgers, the MVP Aaron Rodgers. And I don't think he has that left in the tank. I think he's been exactly what they needed him to be. And their problem has been on the other side of the ball, which is stunning to me. I can't believe that it is, because they're just always there. They're always good defensively, and they just haven't been very good this year.
Yeah. On the Aaron Rodgers topic, have you seen his new celebration that he's been doing? Mario fist pump jump.
Oh, he's been doing that for a long time. He's had that one.
It's the classic old dude. Let's go.
He's been doing that for a long time.
Has he?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's a good one. It does remind me of Mario.
I always just remember the discount double check.
Well, that was when.
I want a double check back. State Farm.
That was
the
commercial. That commercial, it had its run for a few years. No, he's always had the arm up. I mean, I don't know how you look that up, but look up Packers, Aaron Rodgers, arm in the air, maybe. I don't know. He's done that. He's been a quarterback in the league almost your entire life. How does that make you feel?
Young?
As it should. All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We got another hour coming your way.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Jacob Albrock, TJ Cleland. Glad to be with you here today on this Friday, getting you ready for the weekend of football. We'll have high school picks, high school football talk, college and NFL picks all coming your way in this hour. We're going to get you caught up here in just a minute on the Josh Simmons situation. It's all what's on tap, brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company, now featuring a hot link sandwich, split, seared, and served in a split top bun, with chips and a drink for only $9, perfect for lunch. Hot link sandwich now available at Wichita Brewing Company. Pizza and beer made here. We've talked a little about Thursday night football. We've talked about the latest with the tortillas at Texas Tech, including a solution for Lubbock, if they're listening, that could maybe solve all of their problems. TJ, you should use your skills. Get that. Get out there and tag them on that. Clip that out. Put that out, and let's put an end to this madness. But that's all available for you, and it's all to be found on the Odyssey app, which you can do. Thanks to those of you listening to us here, listening to Sports Daily each and every day through the app. You can leave us voice messages if you're on there, if you'd like to chime in. By the way, that high school football coverage coming up a little bit later on Sports Daily, brought to you by Zentex Remodeling Group. You can remodel your bathroom in as little as one day with Zentex Remodeling Group, Zintex.com. TJ will get us ready for all the best games in the high school football world, looking ahead to their Catch Kansas coverage and all the fun stuff happening. That's coming up about 40 minutes or so from now, brought to you by Zentex. All right, TJ, Josh Simmons is still not with the team. Honestly, I think if we're talking football and we're talking a fan and not like, you know, the whoever knows what's going on with his personal life, hope everything's okay. From a football perspective, I think if you're a Chiefs fan now, you just kind of expect Jalen Moore to be the starter for the foreseeable future. I don't think there's an end in sight, or we'd know about the end in sight, basically. It just doesn't seem like there is one.
I mean, I know it feels like it's not going to be this week. I said, don't know anything. Nobody knows anything. I don't think it's going to be this week. I could see a world where he returns next week if it's depending on what it is. But also, you know, like you said, it might not. It might not return the week after that. Who knows what is going on? Nobody knows anything about this. But I agree.
Well, the Chiefs know something. The Chiefs know something. They're just not saying anything. Which I think is important, because they know, but they don't know what the return is. Like, they know what's happening, but they don't know enough to say, here's when we think he'll be back. So that's the strange part. I was texting yesterday with, I think it was with Tommy, former host of the show here. And it was like, there's so many rumors. I'm like, but there's not, like, the rumors are all over the place. There's nothing consistent. And it's the tone that his teammates have taken, dedicating games to him, offering public prayer for him, that makes me think it's something really like tragic. It must be happening. I think what wires are getting crossed is then like the administrative, you know, business end of how do the Chiefs proceed on the field. And when you hear things from Andy Reid, like Brett Beach is handling it, I think initially I was like, did he do something? But the more I think about that, the more it, and we said this yesterday, it seems like they're just preparing for a long-term absence as much as anything else. I don't think it has anything to do negatively with Josh Simmons. They're just, it would appear, getting ready to be without him for a while.
Yeah, I agree. Whatever the list is that you can be put on for that, the non-injured, something I can't remember what the heck they call it in the NFL. There's so many different injury designations anymore. That's what my mind went that same way. I think that it was like Beach's handling. It's like, oh man, like you might be in trouble for the way that he handled this. But I agree. I think it is something about how are they going to move forward if they're going to be without a guy. They'd like to have somebody else on their 53 man, so they can actually have 53 players out there and not just throw out 52 each week. So I don't know. I mean, I agree with your sentiment to start the segment is that, if it was going to be next week, you'd think we'd know by now. Like, you think that Andy's the kind of guy, like, Andy is not a good soundbite, but Andy is pretty coy about things that he'll say. He doesn't say much, but, like, he'll always give, like, an inkling, but he hasn't done anything.
Because I don't think he knows. I really don't. I mean, I don't think he knows. I think he knows what's happening. I don't think he knows
when he's coming back. It's just like, what? When are they going to come back? I don't know. I don't know when they're going to come. I don't know when he's going to come back. But we know that, you know, we are. What are you going to say at this point? It's just because Andy Reid's not going to be the one that gives anything away to what's actually happening. And what's been remarkable about this is nobody is. His teammates aren't. His friends and relatives aren't on social media, the places where you would typically turn to get, like, it's nothing. Yeah. We got crickets, except, you know, just like absolute rumor. And so you hope for the best for him. And I think that if, as a fan, you just prepare to not have him for a while.
My mind goes to this. Could you imagine if this was something that was happening last year and you brought him in with the line that you had? You didn't have Jalen Moore, like you had, you know, Kingsley struggling over there, Wanya struggling over there.
You'd have the situation of last year. I mean, it would be last year.
And then you lose Simmons, then it's like, oh, what do we do? Like, what? It's that, like, that makes you like more grateful, I think, for Jalen Moore and for Kingsley doing well at left guard. And obviously you're missing Joe Tooney, but to have those guys step up is huge. Like we said, not be able to tell a difference against a Lions defense. So
maybe there's a difference between Moore and Simmons, and we find that out this weekend. But I think the fear from a football perspective is now you don't have any depth, right? So now you're in trouble. I don't know who the backup left tackle would be at this point. I assume it would be Wanya Morris, because I don't think you're moving Kingsley off of the spot. He's finally found success, and I say finally in his second year, but he has found success. Not when you saw him struggle at that left tackle spot for so long. So okay. We're good. Like, everything's going to be fine. Not overly concerned, but I am concerned about the depth as they finally get Rashi Rice and the full complement of characters back. I mean, it wouldn't be a Chiefs season without something happening at left tackle, right? It's been the spot for this team, for this franchise during this dynasty. It's been this spot since Eric Fisher left of uncertainty. Orlando Brown came in, was okay. Right. But not great. And then it's been a cast of characters since then. And it was finally looking good. And maybe Jalen Moore gets it. Maybe they stay healthy and we don't know the difference. That's the best case scenario, is you don't even notice. Right. Best thing about the offensive line this year is we didn't really notice the offensive line. You think back, like, it takes, when I'm watching a Chiefs game, I have to stop, like, as I'm watching it. And I'm like, wait a minute, how's the offensive line looked? I guess they've looked great. Like, they haven't looked bad, which means they've looked good, right? Like, with an offensive line.
That's the thing. Is if you're not writing down their names, that means they're playing pretty well. And so I agree.
Pulling your hair out.
That's what I've been saying the last, that Ravens game and that Lions game, is that, you know, for the last year and a half, which is crazy because we're talking about the Kansas City Chiefs, is that you had something to complain about every game. Like, it was never like an easy game. Like, the offense would struggle, the red zone struggles, the offensive line struggles, something else or another. And like, you watch the Ravens game, you watch the Lions game, it's like this looks good. Like, I don't know. Like, there's nothing really going wrong about this team right now. Like, that, I don't know what to talk about.
Well, I hope that we can continue that. I hope that we don't need to talk about the line. I hope that we come in on Monday and it's a non-factor and we haven't even had to really bring it up other than the fact that he's not back yet, because that'll mean that Jalen Moore did it again and they're okay. And look, the Chiefs aren't, like, if you know, they have a depth, they're not the only team in football with a depth issue on the offensive line. Most teams don't have a Jalen Moore sitting there, ready to go. So it's not like, woe is me. The Chargers are down like four tackles right now. The Lions, who they just played, were out five of the six corners they started the season with. Like, everybody deals with injuries, and the Chiefs would deal with it too. It's just, we have a little PTSD from last year and really from two Super Bowl losses, right? Because they've lost two Super Bowls now because of bad offensive line play and bad pass blocking. So we'll see if it can continue. I think it can. I think that the assignment against the Raiders holistically is not all that different than it was against the Lions. They have one of the elite pass rushers in football that you have to figure out a way to neutralize, and you better figure out a way to neutralize. And it's a guy and Max Crosby that has a little history with Patrick Mahomes. Those two like to get after it during a game. I think, you know, pretty decent friends off the field, but on the field, we all saw the mic'd up moments and everything. Like, you know, Crosby's a guy that can get in Mahomes' head a little bit. So Chiefs got to make sure he doesn't get into the backfield.
It's true. Now we're about to figure out if the Chiefs are 11.5 points better than the Raiders. I still think it's a big number.
Man, it's a big number. I can't believe it's that big. I really can't believe it's that big.
The Raiders have some dudes, man. 11.5 points? Anybody actually, like, we're going to pick it. Are we actually going to bet it? I don't know. Those are two different things, it seems like, with this one. We'll make those picks. We'll have the full cast of characters in. TJ's got the receipts. Don't go away. We're coming right back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
All right, welcome in, everybody. It's pick time here on Sports Daily. We're 80% capacity at the moment, waiting on Tommy, but we'll get that figured out as we've got Paul Savage, Brandon Zinner alongside to make some picks. Jacob Albrock, TJ Cleland with you here. Welcome back to Sports Daily. We've got to move efficiently during this segment. We'll get right to the receipts. Last week,
hey, boys, sports bettors ready for some picks destined to fail. Time to hear what the Sports Daily staff thinks of the weekend games.
Last week, 4-2 for yours truly. TJ and Brandon both at 3-3. Paul at 2-4. Tommy at 1-5. Maybe that's why he's suspiciously absent at the moment. But that gives me a 26-21 record on the year. Brandon, Tommy, Paul, all at 21-26. TJ, 18-29.
We'll get there.
That's not ideal there, buddy.
A lot of season left to go. We're fine.
Yeah. Are you overlooking us? Are you overlooking us?
We were worried, Tommy, as Tommy joins us now. 1-5 week, we thought maybe just we're feeling a little under the weather there.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be tough for me to want to show up today. But, you know, I figured I would grin and bear it and be here. And so I'm here to take those lumps.
Lumps we'll take. Let's get right to it. No KU, no K-State this week. I won the week last week, so I'll go first. And we'll start with Texas Tech at Arizona State. 7.5 point spread here. Arizona State, the home dog by 7.5 points. We've got quarterback issues all over this game. You know, if Levitt started and Morton didn't start for Texas Tech, which I think is still a possibility, I might like the 7.5, but without knowing here, I'm just going to bet on Tech's defense. I'll give the 7.5 and take the Red Raiders on the road there. TJ?
I'm taking Arizona State. Too much tortilla drama all week. It's getting to their heads. Arizona State's getting it done. Big spot in Tempe.
All right. That takes us to Brandon.
Yeah, just too many questions in this game, but I still like Texas Tech's ability to run the ball, to play defense. They might have the most talent of any team, certainly in the Big 12, maybe the country. Give me the Red Raiders.
Yeah, I agree yesterday with I don't know if it was Tim Fitzgerald or Shreve. Somebody said they're a national contender. They really are. They're gonna be a CFP contender. Paul, what do you think of this one?
Easiest game of the week to pick. This is so easy. I can't believe TJ's on Arizona State. Texas Tech. Come on, guys. Texas Tech by 14.
They beat KU, but their backup quarterback did not look good against the Jayhawks.
Good football team.
The backup quarterback did look good against Utah, though, when he played in that game on the road. All right, let's go to Utah at BYU.
Do you want me to pick the game?
Well, I was going
to
wonder about Tommy.
Yes, Tommy. What do you we had you late to the party here. Yeah. 1-5 last week.
Man, I know I went 1-5, but I'd like to at least pick a game here. TJ, I'm going to give you the island. It's got to be Texas Tech. I mean, I know that they don't have their starting quarterback, but they're one of the best teams in the country. They were impressive even with Morton down in the second half against Kansas. Give me the Red Raiders.
All right, now we go to Utah. This is a special rivalry, boys. 3.5 points, BYU, the home dog. TJ, you're up first on this one.
I'm up first. Holy war. I'm taking the Cougs as the home dog. I think that they've got some stuff to prove. Their quarterback number 43, really, really good. And always weird things happen. I'm taking the dog in the weird games.
Brandon, how can you not take a quarterback number 43? What do you like in this one?
You cannot take a quarterback number 43 by picking the Utah Utes, which is exactly what I'm going to do on the road.
That's what I'm talking about. Paul?
Well, I'll tell you what. This is an interesting game for me. You know, consider here. You know, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. TJ, you took BYU, right? TJ took BYU. Yeah,
he did. Yes.
I'm taking Utah.
All right, there you go. Just fade TJ. It's 18-29. It's not a bad strategy, Tommy. Just fade TJ.
That's it.
Yeah. If you want to fade anybody, fade me. I went 1-5 last week. But that being said, I'm going to go with Utah on the road. I feel like they just from top to bottom are a more complete team than BYU. I know BYU's at home. I know weird things happen when these two teams match up and when you're playing, BYU. But for this particular matchup, I think I'm going to take the Utes and I'll lay the points.
BYU, the unbeaten Cougs getting points at home here? Man, I got to take BYU. I thought this would. I was afraid this might get into island territory. Both teams are ranked. Both teams are good. But BYU's, they're home dogs, and they haven't lost a game yet. That game against Arizona was a nice win, but their nicest win. They haven't really played anybody, to be fair. This is their first big game. I will take BYU in this one. All right, Ole Miss at Georgia. Top 10 showdown there. Georgia is a 7.5 point favorite, Brandon. Is that too many points in an SEC showdown?
It's not enough points. Give me the Bulldogs at home. Feels like a spot for them to come back and make a huge statement against Lane Kiffin and Co. I like the Dogs at home.
Paul, you agree?
I kind of agree, and here's the reason why. Listen, I'm not going to say anything bad about Ole Miss. I think they're a good football team. They're well coached. I like a lot about them. But Georgia, on the other hand, the physicality of this team, if you were to make me make a list of the five most physical football teams in the country, they would be on this list. I'm taking Georgia.
All right. Tommy.
Yeah, I mean, look, with Ole Miss and Lane Kiffin, that's been a really fun story so far this year. He's built, Ole Miss back up to, you know, a top 10 type program. But what does Georgia do? Georgia wins in the SEC. That's just what they have done under Kirby Smart. I think they're going to do that again. And I know that the spread is over a touchdown, so it makes me a little bit uneasy. But even with that, I think that Georgia will probably win by around 10. So give me the Bulldogs. I'm going to lay the points.
Is Jackson Dart still the quarterback at Ole Miss?
No, he is not.
No? Okay, then I'll take
Georgia. Trinidad.
Give me Georgia. Give me Georgia 7.5. I'm not buying Ole Miss. The Bulldogs are the known commodity there. It's that simple. TJ, you got a chance for an island here.
I'm going to take it. Give me Trinidad Shambliss, former Ferris State D2 legend. They're doing it this week.
I like it. That's a pretty good island to take, to be quite honest with you. Let's go to the NFL now. Raiders at Chiefs is the early game. One of the few times we get them early. The Chiefs are 11.5-point favorites at home, Paul, in an AFC West showdown. Are you willing to lay 11.5?
Boy, that is a lot of points, isn't it? Lots and lots of points. I don't like that. However, I also don't like the Raiders very well either. So I think I'm going to go ahead and take the Chiefs and lay 11.5. I may be on an island just because of the points, but I'm taking the Chiefs.
All right, that takes us to Tommy.
Yeah, I can say with all certainty, Paul, you're not going to be on a Chiefs island today. That's interesting. I mean, I think that this does feel trappy to me, considering how bad the Raiders got blown out last week, considering that the Chiefs won by double digits against the Lions at home last week. You know, it seems a little bit trappy in that regard, and you would think that Pete Carroll and the Raiders are going to try to bounce back in a nice way this weekend. But I don't know. I mean, I feel like with the way the Chiefs offense is coming around, you've got Rashee Rice back and all of that, that number feels about right to me. I'm going to take the Chiefs and lay those points.
That brings it to me. I don't like this. Stinks. I would never bet this. Brock Bowers, I don't think, is going to play, so I'll take the Chiefs. It's got backdoor cover all over it. The Chiefs can dominate this game and win by 10. But without Bowers there, I think the likelihood of that's a little bit lower. And I do think the Chiefs in that offense would love to flex. They've been waiting to flex like this. They would love nothing more than to do it to the team that took laps around Arrowhead a little bit. If there's any team that the Chiefs will not let off the gas for, it might be the Raiders at home. I'll lay the points reluctantly. TJ?
I am not going to lay the points. I'll take the points for the Raiders just because of the fact it's a big number. I agree. I think the Chiefs can win by 10, but it's got backdoor cover all over it. They're very boom or bust. If Geno just doesn't throw three picks, they can cover this number.
Brandon?
Well, I was going to take the island if it was there, but now that TJ has taken it, I don't have any reason to be on the Raiders. I don't believe in them at all, so I will go ahead and take the Chiefs out.
All right, Eagles-Vikings. Brandon, I put this one in here just for you. So hold on there. The Vikings are 1.5-point dogs at home. Brandon, it's going to be Carson Wentz, JJ McCarthy. We don't know yet, do we, or with certainty?
It might be Max Brosburg, the Minnesota Golden Gopher legend, for all we know.
Okay, that's what I thought. Tommy, start us off here. Vikings are home dogs against the Eagles, who are shamed and embarrassed fully.
Yeah, I mean, as much as I don't like the Eagles, I do think this is a good bounce back spot for them, even on the road, and especially considering that we just don't know if it's going to be McCarthy or if it's going to be Carson Wentz for the Vikings. And knowing that, there's been so much attention on what the Eagles need to do to get their anemic offense turned around. I think that that's what they've clearly had to spend this entire week on. So knowing that, I do think the Eagles go into Minnesota, and I think they win. I'll take Philly, and I'll lay the points.
So here's the thing for me that's interesting on this one. Nobody is throwing on the Vikings. They have one of the best pass defenses in football. Their run defense is not nearly as good, but the Eagles, oddly, haven't really been able to run the ball this year. So I'm going to take the Vikings. I'm going to take the points at home here because at some point, Philadelphia's got to prove that they can run the ball again. This would be the game for them to do it, but they've been very stubborn with it this year. They're not going to throw on the Vikings, most likely. So they're going to have to get it done on the ground if they want to get anything done at all. And I still believe in the Vikings. So they got Jordan Addison back. I'll take the home points there. TJ?
You know what they say. Nobody walks into U.S. Bank Stadium and gets away with it. I'm taking the Vikings plus 1.5. I agree. Quarterback situation is dicey, but the Eagles have some woes right now. It feels like a skid could be on the way, and it's going to happen in Minnesota this week.
Paul, we could have a Carson Wentz revenge game on tap.
Oh, it could be. However, now this is just personally speaking. No team has done better for me than the Eagles this year. This is a team that gives me win after win after win in Friday football picks. I would be insane not to take the Eagles. I'm taking the Eagles.
How is that even possible?
I want to see that data.
Yeah, I'm going to need to look at the data.
Well, I'm a man of data. You guys know that.
Against the spread, I can't imagine it's been a good year for the Eagles, but I can't find that.
Friday football picks I'm talking about.
Well, just when we have them, maybe it's just a coincidence. All right. That takes us to you, Brandon. The stage is yours for your Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, so here's how it's going to work. Carson Wentz is going to be named the starter. J.J. McCarthy will be inactive. As for the run defense, the Vikings do get Blake Cashman back this week, one of the best run-defending linebackers in the league. It doesn't matter because the Eagles stink. Give me the Vikings at home. Except, to TJ's point, Bijan Robinson did have about 250 yards there in week two, and the Vikings didn't score an offensive touchdown. But that's neither here nor there.
But Saquon has not looked good on the ground this year. He does not look like the same player. All right, final Bucks-Lions Monday Night Football, probably the game of the week. Man, I love this one, and it is really hard to pick. Really hard to pick. I wish we had a little more time to know about the status of some of the Buccaneers' weapons, but we do not. I don't think Bucky Irving's going to play. I don't think Emeka Buka's going to play. I think Mike Evans has a chance to play, and the Bucs get 5.5 points against the Lions. Give me that Bake Magic, man. Like, if nothing else, he's keeping them close and tight at the end of games. And if it's close and tight at the end of the game, 5.5 points might be enough to matter. So I'll take the points. I'll take the Buccaneers. TJ?
I'm going to go back to what we saw in the playoffs last year. Remember when they asked Todd Boyles about playing in the harsh climate in Detroit? I don't think they can handle it again this year, even though it's in a dome, and that's a joke. I agree with PJ Glasser. 11-0 Lions are after losing against the spread, so they're going to cover it again this week, move to 12-0, bounce back spot for the kneecaps.
Todd Boyles, not to be confused with Tad Boyle. Todd Bowles. Todd Bowles.
Good Boyles, coach. Sorry.
All right, let's go to Brandon then.
It's okay. He's just a big fan of Tim Boyle. I think he still might be in the league with somebody.
Who's Tim Boyle? Oh, that's right, Tim Boyle. Yeah.
Quarterback, long neck. Anyways, yeah. we go. I have a Baker MVP ticket. I don't understand how Mahomes is the favorite over Baker at this point, and he's going to continue to get me closer and closer to a nice little cash out in the coming weeks, which we're not going to take. We're going to ride all season. Give me Baker on the road.
All right, Paul, your Detroit Lions, led by your guy Dan Campbell, trying to bounce back here. What do you think?
Oh, I know. This is so hard for me because if it wasn't Dan, if it wasn't for my beloved Detroit Lions from HBO, I'm telling you right now, I would take the Bucks. However, being a man who understands Dan Campbell, old time football. This is a tribute to old time football. I'm taking the Detroit Lions. That's what I'm going to do. Oh, I was
being
torn.
A man who loves other men like Dan Campbell, Paul takes the Detroit Lions.
Well, I didn't mean it like that. It didn't come out sounding
okay.
Like
Paul,
that.
Paul,
that
Paul,
I don't
Paul.
Mean. I didn't mean
it's
for it to
it's
come
fine.
Out.
So. He's a lovable guy. How can you not fall in love with the story?
Well,
of the Lions?
I mean,
at the same time, how do you not fall in love with the story of Baker Mayfield? Bake's back, baby.
Yeah. I mean, look, I'm on the Baker bus. I love Baker Mayfield. But I think in this particular matchup, unfortunately, the Lions limo, I guess, is going to crush the Baker bus. This is a great bounce back spot for the Lions. And the fact that they're at home in the dome, and we know what Goff does in a dome and all of that, all the signs point to me that the Lions are going to bounce back. They're going to win by a touchdown. I'm going to lay those points at home for Detroit, but I still am on the Baker bus.
Listen, my head tells me this is a Lions smash spot. My heart tells me, don't you dare cheat on Baker Mayfield right now. Don't you do it. He's playing out of his mind. All right, that's six games. Those are the picks. We will see how everybody comes out in this one. It's no KU, no K-State.
TJ's got three islands this week. This is what it's called, the casino, the get even or get even worse.
I think that's probably a good sign for the rest of us based on the season statistics so far. You know, no KU, no K-State. We actually finished this one not up against the buzzer. So I hope everybody enjoys their Friday. That's a picks maybe first time ever. Enjoy the college football weekend without KU and K-State, everybody. Maybe get outside. Get some fresh air because we know that's, Sundays for the NFL. Tommy, appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Have a good
Brandon,
one.
Brandon, enjoy the new job there.
We still got time. They're going to ruin the Cornhusker season tonight. Row the boat, Sky, you mom. Make sure you have your quarter zips on.
Okay. Who's Nebraska playing?
Minnesota. Row the boat, Sky, you mom. What are you talking about?
I've never heard of any of those things.
You never heard of Sky, you mom?
Row the boat?
You never heard of Row Your Boat? Come on.
Row Your Boat, yes.
That's a great children's song.
It is. They should start throwing tortillas there in Minnesota. Sky U Ma?
Yes.
I don't know what that is.
I can't believe you don't know about that.
No, I don't know that either.
I can't believe you don't know about putting a bratwurst on a tortilla. Tommy, we have 1 minute. Can you please bail me out on this? How do you eat a brat? On a hot dog bun or in a tortilla?
100% on a hot dog bun. You are out of your mind.
Absolutely.
What is
out of your mind? That's got to be some backwoods Amarillo, Texas.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I've been arguing. I was like, it might taste great. I'm sure it's awesome, but nobody does that. Nobody knows about that. That's
not debatable that it's better. It's better.
The crunch would take away from the taste.
Paul, how do you eat a brat? Hot dog bun or tortilla?
Oh, bun, no question. I don't want crunch with my brat.
Crunch? Wait, who eats a crunchy tortilla? I'm not talking about a taco shell.
Hard taco shell.
About a soft core, soft flour.
Well, that wouldn't be so bad. I thought you were talking about a taco shell.
People are uncultured. I don't know what to
talk about. Uncultured.
You're the uncultured one.
We're the uncultured ones. Is that right?
Grow up. Live a little. Get outside your comfort zones.
Where are you people? On dope?
It is a Catch a Kansas Friday. We've got games. We're down to the nitty gritty here. We're in week 7, which means what do we have? This one and three more before the playoffs start, if you can believe it.
No.
One more.
We got one more next week.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Week 9, Eight. Playoffs start.
Okay. Week 9. Okay. I'm a little off there. So we're there. So what needs to be decided then? Before we dig into and take you around the area, TJ, where are some big implications happening tonight?
Oh man, obviously a lot of them have kind of already been settled around these parts. I feel like, obviously Maze is still undefeated and ABCTL D1, so they're kind of in the driver's seat of that one. City League, Capen's still unscathed there after they took down Northwest, so they're going to keep on driving that bus as well. You think about the smaller ones, obviously Andale still unscathed, so they're looking pretty well. The biggest one that you've got something to settle is out in Western Kansas tonight, where I'm going. The WAC championship, the WACtion, as we call it. It's Great Bend Hayes. Great Bend hasn't lost. Hayes has only lost to Manhattan, I believe. They beat Derby. They went to the state championship last year. We'll get into that, but that's going to be an awesome game out there. So other than that, right now you're just kind of in district play for the smaller classes, kind of settling everything out before you start getting seeds ready for week 9 of who's going to be placed where.
Paul, I don't think it's technically a rivalry game, but I would imagine – that your boys over at Wichita East would love to take down Bishop Carroll. All the City League games are fun, Scout that one for us as East takes on Carroll tonight.
Well, and I think TJ would agree with this, is that this Carroll is not the same Carroll of the last couple of years where they've been down. They haven't had the players that they've had in the past, the size, the speed. A lot of younger kids. They've been playing young kids. This is a different Carroll team with regards to physicality, size, speed. This is a good football team. Listen, the best game on the docket, and TJ, I don't know if you would agree with this or not, but I think the best football game that will be played in Kansas this evening will be Carroll and East. It's going to be competitive. It's going to be fast moving. It's going to be very physical. It's going to be one of those high school games that you just really like to see week after week, and yet you really don't get to see week after week. And are there implications with the City League? No. City League's over. Go ahead and give the trophy to Capen. Nobody's going to take or nobody's even going to get a share of the City League championship at this point. Congratulations to our friend Western Sharks and his Capen Crusaders. That's a good football team, fellas. Wouldn't be surprised to see them go a long way in the playoffs. But the best game, dollar for dollar, game for game, district by district, 6A, 5A, 4A, you name it, is going to be Wichita, East, and Carroll. TJ, I'm not that wrong, am I?
I mean, that's going to be a big one. There's some big ones on tap. I think that that's definitely probably within city limits. It's the biggest game for sure, I think. That's going to be a lot of fun. Yeah. There's some really big small school games. And as I said, the game out in Western Kansas is going to draw a lot of eyes on that as well. But I agree. I mean, Bishop Carroll East, I'm not sure, what that rivalry looks like dating back of how many East has gotten. Obviously, Bishop Carroll used to have all their dominance and everything like that. And so anytime that East could go knock off Bishop Carroll, it's a chalk it up in the win column as a moral victory and everything like that for the Blue Aces.
Okay. Well, we've got high school football coverage coming up. You've got the high school scoreboard show here. So make sure you're tuned in for that. That begins tonight at 10 o'clock. And then at 10:35, if you make it home on the TV side of things, you've got the Catch a Kansas show over on the KSCW. TJ, what else Catch a Kansas-wise is coming up coverage for today?
Yeah, one game we haven't talked about yet that I'll throw in here. In Class 3A, it's a little bit of a rivalry, not as much as some other 3A battles, but Collegiate going to Cheney tonight. Obviously these two teams have had a ton of success over the years. Cheney finally got it done a couple of years ago. They lost some big pieces. Collegiate lost some big pieces, but they've got some Division I talent on their team. Taking on Cheney is a team that just does a ton of stuff right under Coach Wehrman. So I think that there's a lot that's going to be learned about that in the 3A playoffs. Both of these teams are probably primed to go deep if they don't get the weird 3A matchup where they're playing each other in the second weekend or something like that. So that one's a ton of fun. Derby Mays South tonight. Both of these teams are not quite. We've seen a lot of dominance between these two programs over the last couple of years. They're a little bit down, but this is going to be a lot of fun. Derby's still a really good squad. Mays South, the chance to bounce back, get a big win there before they head to the playoffs. And then the other one, Andale Trinity Academy. Trinity's off to one of their best starts in years. This is one of their best seasons that they've had in a long, long time. They got a former KU Jayhawk as their head coach. And so they've been doing things the right way, but obviously Andale's a buzzsaw. So it would be huge for Trinity if they could get it done tonight. But I expect Andale to ground and pound as they always do, but all eyes will be on that one as well. And then, as I said, Great Bend Hayes tonight. We're going to get to see Ian Premer, best player in the state of Kansas this year. Next year, it's Cooper Omont, his teammate at Great Bend. The year after that, it's Gus Corsair, a Hayes Indian. So three number one players in the state of Kansas will be on the field out at a brand new high school at Hayes High School tonight. So I can't wait to make the trip out there, get some Golden Q cheeseburgers before the game, get to breathe in the Western Kansas air. I love it out there, man. I love Hayes, Kansas. It's awesome.
Golden Q's. I have not had that. I'm going to need
Golden Q. Pool bar, greasy burgers, the best.
It is. There's not much better than a greasy burger. Okay. So high school coverage tonight. Make sure you're tuning in. Paul, want to get your take on a couple other big deals we've been talking about. Both involve tortillas. So in Lubbock, the tortillas on the field. What are we doing here, Paul? Now, the tradition of that started after you were playing football in the Big 12. So you didn't see that at your time at Baylor or anything like that. But I'll ask you this question because it was one that I had before the Big 12 came in and said they can't do this anymore. Did you, Paul, even know that this was a tradition in Lubbock?
Did not know what we're talking about. I had, you know, they brought attention to me. I mean, you know, you don't want attention on something. Well, let's go ahead and bring it up and make a big deal about it, right?
Yes, that's what I mean. And you've played in the Big 12. You've been following the Big 12 forever.
Oh, forever. But played,
since its existence.
Played in that state. Played in that stadium, as a matter of fact. And so,
yeah, I don't think they were doing it then.
Had no idea.
It started in the late 80s.
Yeah. You were to say they got a guy dressed up like a bandit and he rides a horse and he comes out with these six shooters, I figured everybody'd be making a big deal about him coming out waving two, you know, firearms in his hand. That's what I figured would be the big deal.
Yeah, it's something, man. It's something. So I don't understand this. It's not. What do you think about this idea, Paul? TJ and I may have solved their problem. We, at the end of the game, you tell everybody, hey, don't do anything with tortillas. At the end of the game, if we win, we're going to pass out 60,000 tortillas. And we're going to have a countdown at the end of the game. And when that clock hits zero, we want everybody to fire their tortilla all at the same time. We can get it out of our system. Nobody gets penalized. Nobody gets fined. What do you think of that idea?
I don't. That's a crummy idea. But anyway, it's an okay, I guess, but... But the whole thing is just being blown out of state. Now, listen, you're from West Texas. I know you are. You're from the Amarillo area. What's the big deal in Western Texas?
Nothing. There's no big deal. It wasn't a big deal. They made it a big deal.
No, I know that. But let's find another food that's a big deal out in West Texas. West Texas is steak country. How about the big Texan out there on, what is it?
Apparently, tortillas are a big deal only in West Texas. Like, we're the only people that are cultured enough to blend heritages, to mix the deliciousness of Mexican food with the deliciousness of barbecue, and wrap up the it's literally shaped for the wiener. Right, like the brat, the shape, like it wraps perfectly around it and holds everything together nicely. And the reality is, a tortilla tastes better than a hot dog bun.
I just want to know how deep does this go? Because we're just learning about this week that Jacob is so adamant. I mean, do you put your Chinese food in a tortilla? Do you make burritos out of?
Do I put a burrito in a tortilla? Yes, I do.
I didn't say that.
You were about to.
No,
yes, I do. It's just not even like I can't believe it. I can't believe I'm sad more than anything else that you guys have missed out on the proper way.
Gosh,
here's another interesting thing, and I need you to dig into this, TJ. Put on your investigative hat. When at KWCH, they do a brat cook. Occasionally.
Oh, there's not tortillas there.
Yes, there is. There's a pack of tortillas in there because that's how I eat it every time. I don't think there's buns in there. They're tortillas.
There's 100% buns in there.
I put kraut and mustard on every time I go to brat. What is it? Brat Thursdays? Every time I go to that, I'm having a normal brat on a tortilla with sauerkraut mustard.
I don't know how I've ever missed this.
Now, I will say this, the hot link was new to a tortilla. That was I learned about that one on a golf course, and that was not a kraut. That was just ketchup and mustard. That is another delicious treat. But weddings at wedding receptions, I had that at my wedding reception, was brats and kraut, and you put it in a tortilla. I don't know what else to say to anybody. I really don't, other than try it, and you'll get rid of the hot dog. Hot dog buns are for hot dogs. You know, that I don't know what else. We're gonna solve this. We're gonna have a big sports daily cookout.
Couple weeks next week.
You know what? Tommy's in charge here. We gotta get a hold of Tommy. Like we need to have.
Let's fire up the grill. Get some brats.
We gotta have a bratwurst thing and a sports and what we'll do is we'll bring both. And we'll just have people blind test it and say which one of these is better. Now, I know clearly now I'm incorrect. Everybody will choose, apparently, around these parts a hot dog bun. But I want you to try both. Paul, not to stereotype, you look like a man of food. I want you to try the next time you have a bratwurst, I want you to try it in a tortilla. And I want you to throw a little mustard. You're a sauerkraut guy?
Yeah. Yeah, throw some
throw
on.
Throw a little sauerkraut on there. Sure. Throw a little mustard on there.
Absolutely. A lot of mustard. Well, a lot of mustard, yo.
Tell me what you think.
All right.
And you tell me that that's not better than it was on a hot dog.
Well, you got a point because I've never tried it. So here I am speaking about something, how outrageous it is, and I've never tried it. So you do have a point there. I'm going to give you that.
As somebody who's tried both, let me just tell you which one is superior. It just is. At your high school baseball games, how were the concession stands serving up their brats?
If you go to a Windsurge game, you get it in a hot dog bun. It's what people do. It's like you're innovating here. This isn't a thing that people know about.
I happen to know some people with the Windsurge, and I happen to know that he will agree with me on the tortilla. We might need to do something about this. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Friday's always fun. Another one in the books. Hope everybody enjoys the football weekend. Take it in. We have tonight for you, again, the football scoreboard show, high school football scoreboard show, right here on KFH at 10 o'clock. Tomorrow, 8 a.m., things get started with a replay of that show. And then at 2:30, you've got Butler taking on Highland here on KFH. Sunday, morning football in London, Rams-Jacksonville. That's at 8:15. The Chiefs you'll find over on KNSS on the Chiefs Radio Network at 11. And then Sunday night football coverage on Westwood One begins back here on KFH. Falcons-Niners, that coverage begins at 6:30. TJ, enjoy the high school football Friday. Can't believe we're that far into the season already.
I will. I will enjoy my trip all day on I-70, hanging out in Hayes, America.
They'll eat their brats on a tortilla up in Hayes. I want
they
you to
promise pull, they won't.
Poll the audience. See what you find out.
I might we'll get beat up for suggesting that.
We'll have the report, full report. We'll see everybody Monday.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.